All right. Nathan asked me to share something. When we were in an adult Bible study in Revelation recently, many of you attended some or all of those, and at one of our alpha meetings, maybe I made the mistake of saying that I had been more encouraged this time with the study of Revelation than any other time I'd had studied it, and maybe that statement got, you know, encouraged him to ask me if I wouldn't share why, okay? It's not something I would have chosen on my own to have probably done on a day like today. I would have chosen something much simpler to kind of try to do. But I did come away that way. So this is by no means a sermon. It's just more of kind of me saying why I made that statement to Nathan. So, and in the study this time, I did come away with two main things. One of them was a sense of urgency, and the other one was a sense of encouragement from the study of Revelation. So I would like to open up with reading actually some verses out of the Revelation 22, 6 through 10. And Revelation 22, 18 through 21. 6 through 10 reads this way. It says, "The angel said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophet written in the scroll. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near.'" And then 18 through 20, it says, "When everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from the person any share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." And that's how, those are the last verses in the book and in our Bible. So I would like to come back to those, okay? Because that's where I draw a lot of my encouragement. So as we were studying, actually this Bible study started while Cindy and I were in Florida, and it had went for a few weeks, and Jeff and Gail were there too. And then we came back, and I think the first time I came back, it was kind of my turn to lead, and I will say that was probably the worst job I have ever done in leading a Bible study. Nathan even called me and kind of called me on it a little bit. And then I started getting into it, you know, a little more. Maybe I wasn't prepared, or maybe I just wasn't sure how they'd been doing things in class, okay? So I felt led very early in it. How many of you feel a little confused by Revelation? Okay, how many of you feel a little intimidated by Revelation? All right. So this came with a book, Jen Wilkins, and movies and videos. And so this study, I did probably get into it more than any other study I've done on Revelation. All right. But I had to ask myself early, because my feeble mind was not understanding real well. So the first thing I kind of asked myself, or I was really kind of led to ask myself, I think, was what's new in this book? What's new about this? What makes this book so hard for me to get a grip on? And one of those things is how it's written. It's the way that it's written is new to us when we're reading it. So I looked a little bit into, you know, how they say it's written. It says, how's this book written? It's found to be a blend of apocalyptic, prophetic, epistolatory style using symbolic, poetic language to reveal future events and God's plans for the end times. It is circular in nature, meaning that it is not in any type of chronological order, but it all orbits around or points to a central theme of God's plan for the end times. Well, that just cleared it up for me 100%. Okay, so now I got it. So I still had to continue to look for what's truly new here. And when I started looking at it that way, I found it to be really very little when you take the way it's written out, or some of that is confusing to me. Okay. They refer to a lot of different things. So I'm going to take one example. It's very graphic, correct? It is very symbolic. A lot of symbolism used. Even some of the scripture that's been read here this morning, you know, it paints a beautiful picture of heaven, but in of the new earth, but it's in a very, you know, kind of hard to understand way. Due to how it's written. But as far as those things being new, I tried to count, but into the first two chapters, she had already referred us back to 47 scriptures in the Old Testament or New Testament that were justifying, or that were background for what was being said in Revelation in those chapters. So I'd hate to guess how many. Some of you that did it, we looked up hundreds of verses that were. So those things weren't new. They were being explained in a little bit of a different way. Okay. And I read other ways about how this is supposed to be written. Some of them were actually backwards from what they were, and it's supposed to be a mirror. I mean, I lose that. Okay. But I'm going to take the four horsemen out of Revelation 6, 1 through 8. I'm just going to read that real quick. And then I'm going to go back to one of the verses that it referred to from earlier in the Bible out of the prophets, okay? But this is about the form. It says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and it was given a crown. And he rode out as to conquer, bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, and a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked at there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of a living creature say, come. And I looked, there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. That's why I get intimidated by this sometimes. But there was actually three different other verses that you brought us back to. I'm going to share one from you from Zechariah. Chapter 6, 1 through 6. It says, I looked up again, and there before me were four chariots this time, but coming out of them between the mountains of bronze. The first chariot had a red horse, the second black, the third white, and the fourth dappled, all of them powerful. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these, my Lord? The angel answered me, these are the four spirits of heaven going out from the whole world. The one with the black horse is going toward the north. The one with the white is going towards the west, and the one with the dappled horse towards the south. So it had already been stated. There's two others that, you know, I won't bother to read. I didn't want to get bogged down with scripture. I'm kind of speaking of a whole book here and one of the harder ones. But that happens time and time again when we are reading some of these things that are happening. They have been prophesied before. And I was always aware of that, but I never dug into as many of them because a lot than I did, you know, till it came along with this study. So it's grounded there. The Revelations is a culmination of all, you know, those things have been said before. They're not new. But we do have some things there that are more time is spent on. And that's what I think for me has always been a, not a negative feeling, but has always been something that kind of left me confused. But she will take you back on this study and on each of these things that come up and take you to the background through the Bible where it had either been mentioned before or had been displayed. Okay? That was my first realization. There's not a ton of things that's new here. But some of them are covered much more in detail. For example, we get a picture of the new earth, and some of that was read earlier, or the new creation, and it's very, very elaborate, very beautiful. We don't see anything, it's referred to, but we never see anything quite like that in the rest of the Bible. We are given an account of Judgment Day and the process that will take place. And I can stand up here and list several of those. We can get into the millennium, the time of, you know, Christ serving with people for that 1,000 years. But and then, you know, the great scholars, we haven't come to a consensus there. You know, there's still three different views that I won't get into on pre-trib and, you know, post-trib and the way that people look at that. But it's all been mentioned before. It's just being put into a different context or, you know, explained in a lot more detail. Okay. So I don't want to ramble on here. That kind of got me to a point to where I thought there may not be as much really new in this book as I thought. But it is speaking of the end times, okay? Doesn't really make it any clearer when that's going to happen than it does being alluded to throughout the other books of the Bible, where we do not know that time. We have people that believe different things about it, probably, and it's being explained in a, you know, a little bit more graphic way. But that's where I get my feeling of urgency from studying a whole book that's geared towards God's end times, the rapture, the millennium, the judgment day, gives me a feeling of urgency to know more about it, to know God's plan for me more, and to go about sharing those things. But a lot of that comes from the Old Testament. A lot of the most confusing stuff that are the things that came from prophecy, and then it was very littered with graphic and symbolism there. here and what they referred it back to. But where I take my encouragement, and this is what made me look differently at Revelation, come away from the study differently this time, is the encouragement I got from it. The encouragement that I got from it comes much simpler. Okay? It remains the same. From nothing has changed about what God expects out of us during these times. These times may be harder than what we're living through right now, being in America. But it doesn't mean that we may not live through more persecution, in our lifetimes. But one thing that rang true and stayed very much the same, definitely wasn't new, was God's plan for us during this time. Okay? Whether you feel like we're in the midst of it right now or if it's to come or okay. So those things started popping up a little bit everywhere on me. Okay? All through there, he's still telling us what we should be doing. And so I used good old Google, okay, and I wanted to know what would God have us hold fast to? Just that word fast. What would he have us hold fast to now and during the end times throughout the book of Revelation? And just that word fast showed up several times. Revelation 3:11 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one can take your crown away." And we've had the word all along. Revelation 3:3, remember that when you have received and heard, hold fast to it and repent. See, to me, that's not real graphic. That's not real there's not a lot of symbolism there. It's just hold fast to what all took place prior and during Revelation, okay? Book of Revelation. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war on her offspring, which was those who keep God's commands and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. Well, there was about four more that had the word fast in it. So then I just asked, how does God encourage us in Revelation and what he would have us do? And I just picked up a couple more. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the point of shrinking from death. So that's where I'm encouraged. Okay, and that's why I want to come back in just a minute to the scripture that I read right before I started. I came away encouraged that the one thing it doesn't change is what God's plans is for us in our life through that book or throughout any of the book, throughout the entire Bible. It is that plan has not changed. It's still the same that we need to do. It may be harder to do through some of the times that is mentioned in Revelation. You know, like I was saying, persecution to us, it's not that bad, but so we may not have to stand like the one says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the point of shrinking from death. Maybe we've not had to face death in standing up for God, but it's that's been the whole idea of what's been told throughout the rest of the Bible is to stand firm. So that's where I take my encouragement from it. I feel like we're on the right track. Okay, all those things may be scary. They may be confusing to me. Judgment Day, even when I read about that, still is You know, that's a scary thought. But if we hold fast, God, you know, we have been promised. So I'll go back to the scripture I started with. Now, it's referring to, you know, he's kind of referring to Revelation itself as the scroll, but is speaking of the entire Bible. Okay, says the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." Okay, that's the angel. That's the guy that had come to John. Okay. And inspired the book of Revelation. He is standing out, he is testifying to the truth and the reliability of the word. Then Christ himself does the same thing. It says, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." Therefore, again, verifying the value and the validity of this book and the book of Revelation, but of the Bible. So you got the angel himself that had showed to John and Christ backing up the validity and trustworthiness of the word. And then I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your prophets and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the scroll because the time is near." This, I don't think it's an accident that these two that I'm reading is right here at the end of the Bible. Okay? God breathed word and how he, you know, putting the Bible together. Here at the end of times, we're still looking to the word and proclaiming its value, proclaiming its correctness, it's what we need to be doing. And then 18 through 21 says, "Warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And anyone who takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from the person and share in the tree of life, any share in the tree of life, and in the holy city, which is described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.'" Christ saying that again. It says, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." And that's how the book of Revelation and our Bible ends, the one that we read. Okay. I feel like our congregation's on the right track. I feel good about that. I feel confident in our leadership in Nathan to make sure that every time he steps up here that he does not add to or take away from the word. That he speaks, you know, that he prepares to make sure that he is speaking God's word and not adding or taking anything away from it. So that's where I take my encouragement. All through the book of Revelation are several other examples of this, of what God's people staying in the faith is what gets you through some of these things, you know, that we see and gets you to that reward that's so well explained in Revelation of the new earth. I guess what I got hung up on was it also gives you a very graphic depiction of hell also. So, but that just with feeling that we are already doing what God would be having us doing in the end times now, is where I take my encouragement from. So I may have not got anywhere with that, with any of you, but that that's why I came away encouraged and knowing that I think we're on the right track. So.